Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. From the dozens of series on our podcast, to the Qalam app, all the classes that Qalam does online, all the lectures, live events, and different programs that Qalam conducts for the benefit of the community, completely free of charge. Please go to supportqalam.com and support our efforts so that we can continue doing this work, we can increase our efforts, and you can secure your sadaqah jariyah and have a share in all the reward and good that is going on. Once again, please go to supportqalam.com, donate and contribute generously. The following session is from the Qalam Qiyam in Ramadan 2020, where all of our instructors came together to deliver a night of inspirational talks and lectures on the 27th night of Ramadan. I hope and pray that you find the following lecture beneficial. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Inshallah, now we're moving into the final phase of our program, the last set of reminders before we conclude with a dua, inshallah. Next up, we started the program by talking about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we continued talking about repentance and forgiveness. And now we're going to conclude by talking about dua, this act of worship that we engage in, and inshallah, through these reminders, we can try to engage in them more meaningfully. We're going to start off this session with Sheikh Muntasir. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope and pray everyone is doing well during this auspicious night. It is indeed a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we've made it this far. And I know we've heard so many reminders from our esteemed scholars. And at times it may become overwhelming, the amount that we feel we can do to improve. But subhanAllah, the beauty of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, it's not about how much we do, it's about the sincerity, the love and devotion with which we do it. And this is the core, this is at the heart of our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not meant to be robotic, it's not meant to be parrot fashion. Rather, our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a conversation. Dua, or calling on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has unfortunately been seen as a chore. It's something that I do, I need to get out of the way. Instead of seeing it as a way of pouring my heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always find this beautiful that in several languages, the word used for dua is munajat, or munajah, which translates as whispering, huddling, confiding into someone. So a dua isn't a one-way street where I just speak what I want to speak, rather it's a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you're ever to study how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged in dua, it is truly, truly riveting when you see those words and you study how he didn't only say things to Allah, rather he conversed with Allah. He poured his heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is an ideal we need to aspire towards. Dua is essential in our lives. It's the key to success. And at times when the burden, the load of this life becomes too heavy to hold, and it begins to break on our back, that's when we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is always there. The Quran is filled with a number of references to dua. But among the different indications and commandments to call on to Allah, for me personally, the most heartwarming and touching declaration of the importance of dua is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that when my slaves, they ask you about me, let them know that, don't tell them I'm on my way, or don't tell them, you know what, you need to do X, Y, and Z. Rather, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I'm already there. And, you know, just to analogize this, when people are going through stress or trauma or difficulties, When you have that one person who holds your hand, lends his or her shoulder for you to lean on and cry and say that I'm there, it really uplifts you. It really allows you to get to the other end of that difficulty. And that is how we look at dua. And I'm not saying this to anybody besides myself. This is something I need to improve on. That when I'm done with my salah, whatever the prayer may be, and I raise my hands and I say to Allah, Ya Allah, something as simple as, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Oh Allah, give me goodness in this life. I mean, am I conscious of what I'm saying? Do I realize who I'm speaking to? Do I understand what is actually happening, transpiring as I raise my hands and that dua goes straight to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if I don't understand it, then I won't really reap the benefits of dua. And tonight is the night of dua. There's so many things that we can do. We can either pray, we can recite Quran, we can do our adhkar. There's so many things we can do. But if we are not able to dedicate some time, even a minute, even half a minute, to shed a tear and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then really it's my loss instead of anyone else's. I want to mention one point, inshallah, I'm not going to take too long, about the effectiveness of dua. How do we make a dua powerful? Because the common complaint people have is, I raise my dua, it's as though I'm not being heard. It's as though I'm not being heard. And before I get to what I want to mention, I think it's important for us to recalibrate the way we think about dua, because there's a difference between having my dua accepted as I've asked compared to Allah hearing me. Because Allah hears me, but He knows whether that dua is beneficial for my life now or in the afterlife. So if I don't see my dua materialize, Ya Allah, I want to get into so-and-so college. Ya Allah, I need that job. Ya Allah, I need a raise. Ya Allah, I need a house. Ya Allah, I need X, Y, and Z. And it doesn't transpire in my lifetime. Then I shouldn't sit back and cry that Allah didn't hear me. Rather, Allah heard me. Instead, He has given me something better than that. And if I don't get that in this life, I'm going to get that in the afterlife. And it's all about perspective. Because I'm going to sit down and complain and say I'm not being heard, then I'm not going to do dua and I'm going to be deprived. And dua is the essence of worship. I want to mention an analogy that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he gives about the strength of dua. He says, for us to understand how effective dua will be, let's take the example of a warrior. He's in the thick of battle. He unsheathes his sword and he's about to strike someone. For him to effectively strike his foe, there are three things that needs to take place. Number one, he needs the physical strength to wield that sword. Number two, that sword should not be dull. It should be sharp enough to do what it's meant to do. And number three, there should be no impediment, because if the person picks up his shield or if the person holding the sword trips, then he won't be able to fulfill what he went there to do. So these three things that a warrior needs in order for his strike, his blow to be effective, is exactly what we need when we do dua. The physical strength of the warrior indicates the spiritual strength of that person who raises his hand and cries. And again, I'm not talking to anybody else here, I'm talking to myself. That when I raise my hand, if somebody passes away, I'm going to cry. But if it's something mundane, I do it like a parrot. I do it very robotically. If I don't have that spiritual boost, then I can have the sharpest sword. I can have the weakest enemy. It's going to be meaningless. It's not going to do anything. Then the second thing is the sharpness of the blade. I can be strong, but if I have a dull blade, it's not going to do anything. I can have the spiritual strength, but unfortunately, I'm not doing dua as it ought to be. I'm not pouring my heart out. I'm not asking Allah the way Allah ought to be asked. And it's nothing difficult. It's not like I'm not meant to, you know, do something really complicated in order for my dua to be accepted. It's very simple. And that is just be sincere with Allah. Understand our own weaknesses and understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's strength and elevation. And more importantly, we just need to be patient and humble. The key to a successful dua is being patient and humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majesty. And last but not least, the impediment. I can have all the physical strength. I can have the sharpest blade under the sun. But if there is an impediment, let alone me striking somebody else, that blade can bounce back and hit me. So when I make dua, if there's something wrong in my life, if I'm oppressing someone, if I'm abusing someone, if I am intaking something that is completely unlawful, or if there's something wrong in my life, I could have my spiritual high. I can be crying to Allah. I could be holding on to the ghilaf, the cloth of the Kaaba. But if I think my dua is going to be accepted, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Anna yustajabula." A person whose entire life is not in order, in terms of his connection with Allah, in terms of his connection with the creation. If I'm a boss and I have a job and I'm not treating my employees fairly, if I'm in a relationship and I'm not treating my spouse fairly, if I'm a parent and I'm not treating my children kindly or the way they ought to be treated, if I'm a child and I'm not treating my parents with respect, then I can stand all night and cry. But if I don't hear a response, then I need to do some soul searching and check what's wrong with my life. I'm going to end with this. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala an, he says so beautifully. He says, those who knock on the door of the divine at times of ease, they will find that door open at times of difficulty. So when everything is going smooth, I just got a raise, I just got a child, bought a new home, everything is smooth, no health issues, my life couldn't have been better. If I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time and I show gratitude and I still cry, even though technically speaking, I don't have a reason to cry, then when everything goes south and everything goes sour and difficult, and I raise my hands to Allah and I cry, those doors are going to be open. There aren't going to be any obstacles. So tonight is the night. And again, this is not for anybody besides myself. Tonight is the night. If I can sacrifice 1 minute, if I can just shed one tear, just one tear, that tear is powerful enough to extinguish the fire of Jahannam. And if it could extinguish the fire of Jahannam, without a shadow of a doubt, it can extinguish my sins, however serious they may be. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are engulfed in His mercy tonight. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are worthy of being forgiven, even though we do not really deserve it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our ibadah tonight. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Barakallahu fikum, Sheikh Muntasir.